I believe the strength and ability to stand in the front of outlandish things that's coming against us. Standing firm on His word and not compromising. In the book of Esther, and somebody might be familiar with a guy named Haman and Mordecai. Some of you might not be, but you know, God is not a respecter of person, and what He does yesterday, He'll do again today. To sum up the book of Esther in just a couple, I say a couple minutes, but it could be a couple, 3 minutes. But God's people was taken to bondage, slavery. Esther was one of them. But God had a purpose yet for His people. And Esther went from being a slave girl to become queen. Queen Esther. With the king, he had them all in slavery. Of course, they didn't like being in slavery. But they allowed themselves to go that way because they had turned their back on God again. You know, every time that we turn our back on God, we allow the enemy to come in, don't we? You know? I mean, we think it would be different this time. You know, when we're in the middle of a crisis, we get real close to God and we just really pour our hearts out to Him, and we're going to do this, we'll do that. And we all meant well. Amen? But then when we're not in that crisis anymore, we start loosening up, and the next thing you know, we kind of step back into the enemy's playground. Oh, I know I shouldn't, but... And the next thing you know, here we are, wrapped up in chains again. Well, here we are, we find Mordecai, which would be the uncle to Esther, godly man. Mordecai, he loved God. He honored God. And even though he was captive, he was in slavery, he did what they asked him to do. But one thing that Mordecai would never do is bow down to anyone other than God. And of course, some people don't like that, do they? I'm in charge, you bow down to me. Well, Haman was one of the king's right-hand men. He despised Mordecai. He despised Mordecai for one reason, because of his God. He loves his God more than anything. And he would not bow down to Mordecai. I'm putting this in a nutshell. Okay? Mordecai, Haman, hated Mordecai so much that he drafted a law to wipe out the Israelites. Went up, lied to the king, convinced the king to sign it. And basically what it was, in 30 days, they're going to kill all the Jews. Wipe out God's people. But in the house of the king was his queen, Esther, who was also a Jew. Unbeknownst, he signed his wife's death certificate. Wow. She wasn't sure what to do. But Mordecai told her, listen, you need to get in front of that king. And you need to tell him, you know, what's going on. Well, if she went in front of the king without permission, she'd be put to death. Even being her husband, she walked in and said, hey man, can I say, boom, no. I mean, you talk about women submit to your husbands. Yes. So Esther knew what she had to do. She knew that it was up to her. And Mordecai's uncle said, listen, Esther, you was born for a time like this? Of all the stuff you've been through. Now you're in the king's castle. It's not about you. It's about God. So Esther knew that she would have to confront the king. What did she do? She called a fast. Hey Mordecai, you guys fast for 3 days. I'll have my handmaidens fast for 3 days. Then I'll go before the Lord, or go before the king. So they fasted. Here was, they're going to be eliminated. I mean, come on, we got 25 days to go. I mean, they're going to be put to death. Stomped out, wiped out. But because of prayer and fasting and not turning back on God, not saying, well, thanks God, where you at now? No. Prayer, fasting, God used Esther to approach the king. The king said, oh, wait. End up changing the law. Okay. But before he did that, part of what I want to bring out is this. Haman, who hated Mordecai so much, at his house he built a gallows so tall to hang Mordecai on. See, everything that Haman was accusing Mordecai of, he was doing himself. But he builds this humongous gallows. That way, in front of everybody, I'll show you. He wanted more power. You know that? I want people to look at me. Convince the king how bad the people was. Well, the king found out he was lied to. He grafted a law. He couldn't rescind that law, but made a new law saying that the Israelites could defend themselves. So even though war was coming against them, he couldn't stop that because they already put a signature ring on it, but he gave them the right to arm themselves and go against the enemy. Mordecai survived, and Haman hung on the same gallows that he had made for Mordecai. All his arrogance, all evil that he was, the plan that he had for Mordecai, he hung himself, or he was hung by it. God doesn't change. People's way of thinking might change. We get so used to the way the world is today that we get to the point where I just want a little bit of peace today. But I'm just here today to celebrate a victory that our God has done for the church, I truly believe. See, we have the same thing going on in the United States. We had another Haman out there lying about another Mordecai. Wanted to destroy Mordecai. But there's still a church out there that was willing to fast and pray, to intercede for God's people. Nothing's different under the sun. What God had done for Mordecai and the Jewish people, He's still willing to do today for His people. If we would continue as they did. Esther and Mordecai was two people in the hands of God that was used by Him for His people. Amen? This is regular people who got elevated to places of power. Yeah. People here right now, some days we could have a governor here of Ohio sitting in church today. If you do become governor, remember me, will you? But see, we don't know. But see, I see it the same way that I see the victory that God has come through for us. As I've said before, I saw our President Trump as an instrument in the hands of our God. Listening to the cries of the people when we repented of our sins and we kept seeking Him and we wanted to turn around this nation to get away from the evilness of spilling innocent blood. Getting rid of laws that doesn't line up with God's Word. But we had a Haman out there lying, convincing people how evil Mordecai is. I'll put it this way. We had a party in power coming against Donald Trump, lying about him, trying to destroy him. Not destroy him personally, destroy the people of God. Satan saw that rally God was doing using this man. Now I want to thank God this morning that the truth continued to prevail. And what Haman, or the evil one, meant for evil, that God has given us victory, that our president was acquitted from trumped up lying charges. Being political with you this morning, I'm just stating fact. I have eyes to see. I know my God. And I know how He can use anybody. I just praise Him this morning. And my heart is this, that the same gallows that they built for Mordecai will be used against them to neutralize them. Evil is evil. It's raising its head worse. And we too need to continue to fast, pray, intercede for this nation. Sometimes you want to shake your head and say it's over, but I'm telling you what, it's not over until we're over. Amen? There's still hope for this nation. We can't give up. You think about in the last 30 years, 40 years, there's 60 million less of us today because of what the evil one brought in. And it's being supported right now. 60 million? How do you reduce an army? You get less people in the army. This is all a world focus, folks. Understand this. It's that one world order that the Bible speaks of. They're trying to get it in. And best way to take over a country who has God as a defender is convince them, don't let the babies be born. And here we are now, 60 million less of us. But it ain't over. If we spoke Friday night, man, a great awakening, a great revival coming. They're trying to squash it. They're trying to get us to the point that we give up. They want us to sit down and say, just come, Jesus. We're ready for the rapture. Give him a cup of coffee here, and I'll get one of Edith's little cookie here, and I'll eat it, and come. May that not be our hearts. Great victory. God showed us in the middle of this sham that He is still God. And President Trump is not our Savior. We understand that. But he's an instrument in the hand of God who was not afraid to stand up. He wasn't afraid to stand up and call evil what it is. He's not afraid to call people out who does evil. When he said, I came to drain the swamp, I had no idea how big the swamp was. But look what God has used him. Now he's exposed all this to us. And praise God, we can do something about it. Prayer, yes. Fasting, yes. Voting. And maybe some of you in here. Maybe he's calling God-fearing men and women to raise up. It's time for you to run for office. Listen to him. He'll speak to you. But it ain't over with yet. I ask you today that if you contact your senators. And thank them for those that God used. They were 10 votes shy of impeaching your president. 10 votes shy of taking this man that we cried out, God, we need help, and God raised them up. 10 votes shy of removing him unconstitutionally, illegally, but to make him where he could never do anything again. That's how close it was. But kind of reminds me of Gideon's army. It's not how many you got, it's what you have. I just pray that you will do that. Specifically, contact them and thank them how they voted and standing up for righteousness. And may we do the same, not afraid to call evil what it is, evil. And not to call things a lifestyle. If it's sin, it's sin. It's just a simple lifestyle. I mean, let me jest. The truth needs to be spoken. How can people come out of the darkness to the light if they think the darkness they're in is already the light? But I just thank Him for that this morning, the victory that we have. Because they're not coming against us each individually. They're trying to come against our God. They are coming against our God. And we need to fight. Fight as God leads us for this nation. So many other nations are dependent upon us through our Christianity outreaches. But in ourselves right now, some of you got children. You got grandchildren, great-grandchildren, on down the line. They don't even know yet how much they are dependent upon you and me to stand for righteousness and declare God's word to be true. Amen? So I just wanted to thank the Lord this morning for the victory I see of Him standing up for His people, and that will encourage others to stand up and take a stand. Some caved in because of peer pressure. Have you ever caved in because of peer pressure? We all have. Best way to overcome peer pressure, have someone stand beside you that's encouraging you. So it's always good to, again, your representatives, your officials, let them know what you think, what God says. Hey, this is how I feel about it. This is what the Lord says. I appreciate taking consideration. It might not change a thing, but at least you've spoken the Word of God. It might. They're supposed to represent you, amen? Yes. They work for us. And sometimes we get scared of them because they got a title. But we've got to realize, man, we send them to Congress, we send them to the state, they represent us. They're supposed to. And if you have 100 people that they represent, and let's say 20 of them don't care at all about God, 60 do, and the other ones don't care about nothing. If all they hear is from the 20 people who has nothing to do with God in their life, and they're here to represent us, if they're going to do the job correctly, they're going to follow them 20 people. Right? But we have 21 of us calling. I guess there are 20. See what I'm saying? So don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid. Again, don't do what some do and you send them. Don't cuss them out. Don't tell them they can go to hell. All that kind of. Don't. Just share. What would Jesus do? He might be stern about it, but he would share. He wouldn't. He wants to change their hearts, right? That's what we want to do. So I'd encourage you to do that. I want to show you something this morning. I've got permission to do this. I want to encourage you a second. On the scripture I want to read in the book of Matthew. I want to encourage folks this morning. I always try to do that, I guess. But book of Matthew, the 25th chapter. I want to use a overhead in just a moment here. They're going to get ready for me. And again, if I might be a couple minutes longer this morning. I understand if you have to go to work, you have places you got to go. Sometime we're all on time on a limit. A lot easier if I get out of chapter 24. I can find what I want. I'm going to go to verse 31. I'm going to read there. Yes, the 25th chapter, verse 31. He says, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with them, then He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right, and the goats on His left." You might shut number two off. Breaker box, you know how to do that. Okay. "Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry? And when did we feed you or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the King will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" And this morning I just want to take that scripture and I want to put a face behind that. So I want to bring this picture up. And I have permission on this. Here we go. Bring that one up. Can you see it back here? Give me a second here. That is a young lady. Somebody know her name? Brandy Swoblin. Anybody remember their name? Yep. She stopped in and saw me this week. Praise God, yes. Three years ago, she would come into the ministry here, and that's her booking picture. She would come in here, strung out on meth, to eat dinner. And so blessed that we were able to feed her. You folks are here to encourage her. Can I have another picture? Not the newest one, but do you have the one where... I just want to show you a couple of things here. Oh, give me one maybe in the hospital. Okay, that'd be awesome. Now, you might not be able to see her, but she had no place to sleep most nights. Slept in a park lot over here. But she's laying in the hospital sleeping on the couch. They would let her sleep up there at night times and weren't busy. But I want to show you, you can't see, but that pink shirt that she had on, a coat, that's the one that she would wear in here to eat dinner. And she's sitting probably, young lady, right where you are. And on the back of the coat, a big letter, it had the whole word F-U on it. Okay? Purple hair, just strung out. And I remember walking over to that day, and I said, hey, do you mind, could you cover your coat up while you're eating here? We got kids in here. So polite, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, and he took it off. And still continued to come in and eat, minister to them. Yeah, great, go to the next one. See her? That's a double negative. See how skinny she is? That's right before she went to jail. Right before she got busted, she had a good friend of hers in our church. Stopped by one night. A little late night, I was here by mistake. Not by mistake, but you know what I mean? Not. And invited me in, and boy, he's having a tough time, heroin addict. And I was able to share the gospel with them and tell them how much God cared for them, how Christ died for his sins. That evening, he didn't pray with me to receive Christ, but he left here with the knowledge of him. 2 days later, Brandy found her dear friend with a needle stuck in his arm. He died out on the streets. She came in here the next day. Next serving dinner day, she gave her life to Jesus. And it's kind of unique because when she did, she got busted for drugs. Went to county jail, then went to prison. And you all wrote her. You prayed for her. She got into a woman's program in prison. A church-oriented woman's program. And it changed her life. I want to read something to you before I go to the next one. I'll just leave that picture up there. And some may have heard this before, but wrote to us from prison. So, dear Starkey, I've been thinking about your church. Not me, but your church. Praise God. Okay. A lot, and I've been wanting to write to tell you all thank you and wish you all a very Merry Christmas. Now, this was about 3 years ago. I'm not sure you know how much your church helped me over the last year. The meals I ate there were a lot of times the only meals I ate during the day. And I can recall times when it was nighttime. I was at the old Park Hotel. And you would let me get donuts and water. There was also numerous times when my clothes had been stolen. Or I had to leave them somewhere because I had gotten myself into a sticky situation. And I came to your church and was able to find what I needed clothes-wise. Although I never knew the gentleman's name, there was a member of your church who stopped at Park Hotel on weekends and dropped off bags of donuts with Capri Sun or water. All these things most took for granted, but I am unsure if I ever took the time to really thank you all. And although these actions were greatly appreciated, there was one thing I loved more than anything. Every single person I spoke to in your church treated me like I was still human. I know that everyone knew I was homeless and I was on drugs, but not one single person ever made me feel like I was less of a person. Most of the time I was made to feel like as long as I kept fighting to stay alive, I was still worth fighting for. That's the greatest gift I've ever been given. The streets of Coshocton had become filled with so much evil and temptation, it was nice to have a safe place to sit, even for a little while. I know that you had prayed both with me and for me before, and I would like to ask if you would continue to pray for me. I know I have spoken to you a little about the trouble I had gotten into, but I am sure you probably recognize me in the paper. I wish I would have stayed in detox instead of getting scared and running away. The judge probably would not have sent me here. On the other hand, I am thankful. After James passed away, that's her friend, I got worse, and instead of asking for help, I got worse. This is why I did not fight my case. I truly believe this is exactly where God wants me to be. Although prison is a little scary, I have become more humble than I was. I truly believe prison saved my life. I'm sorry this letter turned out so long since I have been here. I have learned how to crochet and been doing tons of community service, making vanity mats for homeless. My ultimate goal is to bring it back to Coshocton to help. I also want to give back to your church as much as you have given me. I'm hoping for judicial release in May. If I can make a good plan for myself where I do not end up on the streets again. If I have to do my whole 2 years, that's fine. I'm just going to make the best of it. Anyway, I just wanted to thank you all, and hopefully one day I can do so personally, and wish you all a very Merry Christmas. I hope you all recognize that all that you are doing does make a difference in people's lives, even if we don't always see or say. Brandy Spavlin. Well, the next picture I want to show you. No, there you go. That's Friday. She came in to see me. She did her 2 years parole. She'd been working with a Christian outreach center up around Cleveland area. They hired her. She packs and prepares about 1,000 meals every day to help the homeless in the Cleveland area. She took her culinary arts program. And this past week, she got to visit her kids. Amen. Amen. And so I share that to encourage you. See, it's not just Shepherd Christian Assembly. This is what the body of Christ has done. Because some of the food that we shared came from other churches. Some of the clothing came from other churches. Okay, we're just kind of like the spigot on the bottom of the great big barrel of water. And they see the spigot, you don't see the big barrel. But look at the difference. Oh, that's just one person's life. And Jesus said, man, when you feed them, you feed me. Scripture's coming to life, guys. She was so thankful. I'm going to bring the lights up now. Yeah, what's that?
His love is what transformed.
Yes, amen. It was his love that she received here. So if you ever have a day like, man, did my life really make a difference? There's one person for sure. And that's just one. I don't know how many folks they will touch lives and help out. I know her friend's life ended differently. But he found God's love and warmth and comfort. Dakota and your brother, same way as your daddy. I know your heart's breaking, but in the ministry here, your daddy came in, he found Jesus. And he's in heaven today. I know it's still heavy. He's not sitting across from me, but we have a promise. We're going to see your daddy again. He's probably cooking ribs for us. Hopefully no cow tongue, just ribs. You know, I wasn't a fan of that, so amen. So anyway, I'm going to close this morning with Breaking Bread Communion. Just want to thank you guys for all you do for the Lord. And the Bible says what you sow, you reap. Some of us sitting here today, we have the same situation going on in our own lives the lives of our loved ones, our children. As we sow into other lives, God is sowing into their lives. It wasn't the family that could sow into her life because she burned her bridges, amen? And we came along with Christ and built that bridge to Him. And God will do the same for your loved ones. Just stand on the faith. And God is a deliverer. He works in different ways. I can imagine her thinking, yeah, boy, I prayed for Jesus to come in my life, now I'm in prison. But it turned out, like she said, one of the greatest things that ever happened to her, got away from the temptation. And she's not moving back to Coshocton. It's just, you have too much temptation out there. You know, no matter how strong we think we are, we got to watch out because we can fall right back into where we came from. Amen. Let's see. You want to help, Mother? We'll bring communion around to you today. But the Master sat around the table that night, we call the Last Supper. He wanted to encourage His disciples. So He took a loaf of bread and He broke it and passed around the table and said, man, this represents my body. Eat of this. Now, I want you to do this, remember me. What He's saying is, I want you to consume me. Consume His word. Then He took the cup and He passed around. So this represents my blood, which is a sign of the new covenant, everlasting covenant. If we follow Christ, there's no other covenants, there's nothing else that has to be done. This is it. Christ died. Christ died on that cross for me and for you. He didn't take that death lightly. He took it because you and I and His eyes were worth it. He talked about a love story. He came to redeem us from ourselves. He looked down and seen this world, and to me, this is just my mind, okay? I see Him looking down and say, okay, that's it. Roll the sleeves up, I'm going down there and take care of things. And He did. And He came in the form of a baby. He came because you are worth it. And as we follow Him, He just asks us to do the same thing that He did. Nothing more, the same thing. And that is to put God first in our life. And at times, even sacrifice our own life, the own cardinal things that we want. To set them aside, I don't want nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with the Lord. I don't want nothing to do with it. The enemy comes, as Jesus says in John 10:10, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he comes in many different packages, many different temptations. But Jesus says in that same scripture, but I come and give you life and give you more abundantly. Jesus, as we take bread this morning, drink from the cup, we're confirming our allegiance to Him and what He's done for us. Amen? Yeah. Father, we do thank You again, God, for all the blessings You've given us to the salvation of through Jesus Christ. And God, we continue to pledge our love to You. Our desire to be just like the Master. Thank You for taking away the death penalty of my sins. Thank You because of Your righteousness I am worthy to be used by You to share Your love. Strengthen us, Jesus. Holy Spirit, as You strengthen Jesus to do the Father's will, we call upon You to do us the same way. That we will not back down in the time of controversy. That we won't turn mean, ugly, and evil. But we'll continue to share Your love to a hurting world. In Jesus' name, amen.